Ever noticed how you never think about air until you're gasping for it? Sleep works the same way. When you're drowning in exhaustion with a baby who refuses to sleep, it consumes your every thought. While we assume babies naturally fall asleep when tired, they actually need significant coaching, and the whatever works approach that helps in the first weeks becomes problematic as months pass. Unlike discrete periods of sleep deprivation like all-nighters, parenting a non-sleeping child creates relentless exhaustion, coupled with the stress of feeling you're failing your child. This book has become a cult favorite among celebrity parents like Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, who credit it with saving their sanity during their children's early months. Since its publication in 2017, it has helped over 1 million families establish healthy sleep habits, with parents in online communities often referring to author Alexis Dubier as their sleep fairy godmother for her practical, non-judgmental approach to the most challenging aspect of early parenthood. Babies are wonderful with their squishy toes and intoxicating smell, but babies who don't sleep are challenging. They fuss more, cry more, and prevent you from sleeping too. About 40% of babies are easy babies who consolidate sleep with minimal guidance. The remaining 60% are more challenging. These fussy tyrants can rule your household, requiring extensive help falling asleep, only to wake 20 minutes later. With these babies, brushing your teeth becomes your sole non-baby accomplishment for the day. Before diving into details, here are 10 fundamental truths about baby sleep. You are the best parent for your child, even when feeling like a failure. You and your partner will argue about sleep. Forgive each other. Babies don't outgrow sleep issues. They grow into them. Sometimes babies don't sleep simply because they're babies. Helping your child develop healthy sleep habits is one of the best gifts you can give them. When obsessing about sleep, you're missing the fun of having a baby. Sleep fairies are unreliable. It's all on you. Sometimes things get worse before getting better. Sometimes tears are necessary for sleep progress. Pick one plan and stick with it for at least 2 weeks. You're likely worried about the consequences of poor sleep on your child's development. Relax, your child won't be chronically sleep deprived. The fact that you're reading this shows you're a mindful parent who understands the importance of good sleep. Safety must always come first. SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, is the unexplained death of an infant under 12 months, peaking between 2 to 3 months. While rare, about 1 in 2,000 babies, it's the third most common cause of infant mortality. To reduce risk, always place baby on their back. Use firm surfaces with no soft bedding, avoid overheating, consider room sharing for the first 6 months, offer a pacifier at bedtime, keep immunizations current, and never sleep with baby on couches or chairs. Before having a baby, I imagined life would be like a diaper commercial. Me perfectly coiffed with an adorable baby who quietly chilled while I did yoga. Reality proved quite different. Instead of a chubby cherub, I brought home a tiny, wrinkly creature who cried constantly. You've probably heard newborns sleep 18 hours a day, but 14 hours is more typical, with some sleeping as little as 9. Newborns, like El Niño and M. Night Shyamalan movies, are hugely variable. However, certain challenges are common in the first 3 months. Crying typically peaks around 6 weeks, when sleep may be at its worst. About one-third of newborns are extremely sensitive or colicky, crying for more than 3 hours daily, 3 days weekly, for 3+ weeks. Most newborns experience a miserable awake period in the evening called the witching hours, lasting 1 to 6 hours between 5 to 11 p.m. Many experience day/night reversal, sleeping all day and staying awake at night. In the first 2 weeks, baby sleep is extremely unpredictable. After that, patterns become slightly more predictable. Your baby will sleep for at least 1 4-hour chunk daily, though when this occurs remains unpredictable. Around 6 weeks, crying peaks and sleep quality hits its worst point, but this is temporary. By 6 weeks, you've navigated the toughest part of newborn sleep. Though schedules remain irregular, you're moving from the shock phase into finding your groove. Despite overwhelming baby advice, it boils down to simple principles. Feed your baby, hold your baby, love your baby, and follow a few key guidelines. Don't worry about independent sleep yet. Your newborn isn't ready. Never compromise on safe sleep practices. Use Abundant Soothing, rocking, walking, holding, massaging, feeding, bouncing, pacifiers, swaddling, and white noise. Don't force the crib. Most newborns won't sleep well there until they're older. Don't let babies stay awake too long. Unlike eating and pooping, sleep doesn't just naturally happen for babies. Bedtime is crucial. When it happens and what happens during it determines how the rest of the night will go. Getting bedtime right sets your child up for the best possible sleep, while getting it wrong means problems you can't fix at 2 a.m. Newborn bedtimes are quirky, challenging, and inconsistent. Their bedtimes are typically late, between 7 p.m. and midnight, wildly variable from night to night, resistant to your preferred timing, and sometimes turn out to be naps in disguise. Once your baby passes the 3-month mark, bedtime becomes more predictable and manageable. The good news is that 98% of what happens at bedtime is within your control. Consistency is crucial. Bedtime should vary by no more than 15 to 30 minutes each night. A consistent bedtime is one of the most powerful sleep cues, as our body chemistry regulates itself around this pattern. Children need enough wake time before bed to build sufficient sleep pressure. The period between the last nap and bedtime is typically 1.3 to 1.5 times longer than other wake periods during the day. Bedtime needs protection from late afternoon or evening naps. Even brief 5-10 minute car or nursing naps can sabotage bedtime. A consistent, soothing bedtime routine signals sleep time to your child. Choose activities everyone enjoys that you can maintain nightly for years. Boob or bottle, bath, books, bed is a classic approach that works well. While nap locations can vary, nighttime sleep should happen in the same place consistently. Avoid the common pattern where baby starts in one sleep space but moves to parent's bed after waking. Bedtime challenges are common but solvable. The most frequent issues involve timing, too early, too late, or inconsistent, and establishing effective routines. Late bedtimes often manifest as bedtime battles, frequent night waking, and too early morning wake-ups. When babies are awake longer than recommended before bed, they become overtired, making it harder to fall and stay asleep. There are countless mysterious things happening during your baby's first year, with sleep being perhaps the most unfathomable. When babies aren't sleeping, parents often wonder if it's due to sleep regressions, growth spurts, teething, vaccinations, constipation, overtiredness, or numerous other factors. To successfully foster your child's sleep skills, you need to understand 4 key concepts. Babies spend about 50% of their sleep time in active, REM sleep, compared to adults 20-25%, making them noisy sleepers who wake frequently. Their sleep cycles last only about 50 minutes versus adult cycles of 90 to 110 minutes. While adults transition back into deeper sleep during light phases, babies naturally wake 2 to 8 times nightly. Sleep is regulated by circadian rhythms and sleep drive. Babies are born with immature sleep circadian rhythms, with sleep randomly distributed around the clock for the first few weeks. Sleep drive builds while awake and dissipates during sleep. At bedtime, circadian rhythm and sleep drive combine forces, making the compulsion to sleep strongest then, gradually weakening toward morning. Object permanence, the awareness that things exist even when not visible, develops in babies around 3.5 to 6 months. This developmental milestone affects sleep because babies who fall asleep with you present will wake upset when they notice you're gone. Any change between falling asleep and waking becomes problematic. Parents missing, location changes, devices shutting off, or pacifiers falling out. Everyone has sleep associations, activities, locations, or items closely linked with sleep. For adults, these might include reading before bed or sleeping with a partner. Babies develop sleep associations with whatever happens at or near bedtime. The key distinction is whether these associations persist throughout the night. Positive sleep associations, swaddling, nightlights, loveys, being in their crib, remain constant when baby wakes. Negative associations, nursing to sleep, rocking, pacifiers that fall out, create problems because they're absent when baby wakes during light sleep cycles. Sleeping isn't an inherent skill. It must be learned. Parents initially teach babies to sleep through nursing, feeding, patting, cuddling, and rocking, which works well for newborns under 3 months. However, as babies mature, typically around 4 to 8 months, these methods begin to fail. The root cause of nearly all chronic sleep problems, 99.8%, is the inability to fall asleep independently. When babies struggle with sleep, parents face a common challenge. Infants who refuse to sleep anywhere but in arms wake frequently or scream when put down. While parents can't force babies to sleep, they can significantly influence sleep outcomes. A true sleep power tool must significantly elevate soothing to increase sleep likelihood, function consistently throughout sleep periods, work without parental involvement, and be something that can be gently weaned later. White noise is the most effective, easiest, and least expensive sleep aid for babies, yet often underutilized. It reduces stress in babies by blocking overwhelming stimulation, helps them fall asleep more easily and stay asleep longer, reduces crying when louder than the crying itself, may reduce SIDS risk, and helps parents sleep through minor baby noises. White noise doesn't require fancy equipment, apps, static on a radio, or air purifiers work fine. It should be about 50 decibels, like someone showering nearby, left on continuously during sleep. Swaddling is one of humanity's oldest soothing techniques, reducing crying by 28%, especially in the first 2 months, and helping babies sleep better by preventing them from startling themselves awake. Key safety points include: swaddling helps babies sleep better, it's safe as long as your baby is on their back, stop swaddling when your baby can flip over, focus on immobilizing the upper body while allowing legs and hips to move freely. Despite concerns about potential addiction, pacifiers offer compelling benefits for newborns. They significantly reduce SIDS risk when used during sleep onset, provide substantial soothing when combined with swaddling and white noise, and can meet a baby's sucking needs while giving nursing mothers a break. Current research debunks the myth that pacifiers undermine breastfeeding. They may actually help nursing mothers be more successful. Baby swings provide three key benefits: a consistent rocking motion similar to womb movement, a slightly upright position that uses gravity to help keep stomach contents down, and a gradual pathway to independent sleep. While the American Academy of Pediatrics officially recommends babies sleep only on their backs in unadorned cribs, parents struggling with severely sleep-resistant babies may want to discuss swing use with their pediatrician. Though sleep schedule management sounds dull, it's foundational because timing is crucial. Babies won't simply fall asleep when tired. Most will stay awake far too long, becoming increasingly difficult to soothe. The key is finding the sweet spot between not tired enough and overtired. The appropriate wake windows vary dramatically by age. Newborns need 45 to 60 minutes between naps, 6 to 3-month-olds, 1 to 1.75 hours, 3 to 6-month-olds, about 2 hours, 6 to 9-month-olds, 2 to 3 hours, 9 to 12-month-olds, about 3 hours, and 12 to 18-month-olds, 4 to 5 hours.
If I gave you ingredients without instructions, could you make a complex dessert? Similarly, having sleep tools isn't enough. You need a plan. Teaching your baby to fall asleep independently often seems impossibly difficult, but there are effective strategies. The best time to start is between 2 to 4 months, though it's never truly easy. Whatever your baby's age, starting now is better than waiting, as it only gets more challenging as they grow older. Teaching independent sleep is like introducing vegetables to children. Gradual introduction works better than sudden change. You've already taught your baby how to sleep using techniques like rocking, cuddling, or nursing. Now you need to introduce new sleep associations that persist throughout the night. Any successful approach requires a solid foundation. Start with bedtime, when biological sleep drive is strongest. Maintain a consistent age-appropriate bedtime. Establish a calming 20-30-minute bedtime routine and ensure the bedroom is dark with blackout blinds. Since babies have unique temperaments and sleep associations, I've developed 6 sleep with assistance plans, SWAPs. These generally involve gradual approaches with substantial parental involvement. While often described as gentle methods, gradual is more accurate. Some crying is almost inevitable when changing sleep habits. SWAP's focus on gradually modifying how your child falls asleep, which can work quickly with adaptable babies, but may take weeks with others. The more soothing SWAP works best for babies under 4 months and older high needs or reflux babies. The solution is to maximize baby sleep power tools, like white noise, dark rooms, and swaddling. Fuss It Out, FIO, involves using appropriate power tools, soothing your baby until calm and drowsy, placing them in the crib awake, then walking away for a set time, 10 to 20 minutes depending on age. This isn't cry it out, it's a short experiment to see what your baby can do with some space. The double take technique involves soothing your child fully to sleep, placing them in bed, then waking them slightly so they can fall back asleep in their bed. Gradual weaning helps babies transition from parent-assisted sleep to independent sleep. For motion junkies, options include transitioning to swing sleep or using rhythmic padding while in the crib. For suckers, babies who need nursing, bottle, or pacifier, two main approaches work well. The pull-out method involves letting baby suck until drowsy but removing before sleep. The anything-but method separates sucking from bedtime by 20 minutes and uses alternative soothing techniques. When implementing a SWAP, temporary setbacks may tempt you to revert to old habits. Resist this urge and commit to your chosen approach for 5 to 7 days. Developing new sleep skills takes time and consistency. When gradual sleep strategies, SWAPs, don't work, another option is sleep training without parental assistance. This approach involves putting your child in a safe sleep space at bedtime and letting them learn to fall asleep independently. While this naturally involves some tears as children adapt to change, many persistent myths surround this approach. Contrary to popular belief, parents choose this method not out of laziness, but because other methods have failed. Research shows it doesn't damage the parent-child bond, harm the child, or require constant repetition. Common misconceptions about sleep training include that parents who use it are selfish or lazy, when in reality, they've often tried numerous gentler approaches first. Research on attachment focuses on severely neglected children, not loving parents teaching sleep skills. Despite fears, there's no evidence that brief periods of crying during sleep training cause harm, while chronic sleep deprivation definitely does. SLIP, Sleep Learning Independence Plan, is a mindful strategy for fostering independent sleep in older babies when gentler methods haven't worked. It's appropriate when your baby is at least 6 months old, chronically sleep-deprived, struggling specifically with independent sleep, you've exhausted gentler options, baby has no medical complications, sleeps in a safe space, both parents unanimously agree to the approach, you can maintain a consistent schedule, and, most critically, you're fully committed. When implementing SLIP, start at bedtime when the biological drive for sleep is strongest. First, ensure good naps happen by any means necessary to prevent overtiredness. Modify your bedtime routine by removing the final soothe-to-sleep step, whether it's rocking, nursing, or other sleep associations. If feeding is part of the routine, move it to 20 minutes before bedtime. SLIP is based on the principle that your child needs to learn to sleep without unsustainable sleep associations. For most kids, checking makes things harder, so I recommend full extinction. Put your child down fully awake in a safe place at bedtime and don't return until they're asleep. While Dr. Ferber's graduated extinction method, checking at progressively longer intervals, is popular, evidence shows both methods work effectively. However, my experience suggests full extinction works better. It's quicker and actually results in less crying overall. Let's be honest, sleep training is scary. Parents express fears about damaging their child psychologically, worry about judgment from others, and question if they're failing as parents. When exhausted, we become vulnerable to these fear demons whispering untruths. You aren't good enough. Your child doesn't love you. You're failing. None of this is true. SLIP isn't failure. It's acknowledging what your family needs to improve. Your child isn't being abandoned in some dangerous place, but in a safe sleep space you lovingly prepared. Congratulations! Successfully using SWAP or SLIP to foster independent sleep at bedtime is the most important step toward establishing healthy sleep habits. You've taught your child a crucial life skill. Most likely, you're already seeing a dramatic reduction in night wakings. Take a moment to celebrate this win. However, this isn't the whole sleep story. Your approach will depend on why your child is waking, either for food or due to sleep associations. If your child was routinely eating during the night, they'll continue to need or expect food even after establishing independent sleep. Younger babies may not be developmentally ready for a full night without feeding, while older babies may be habituated to substantial nighttime calories. For babies with predictable feeding schedules, the approach is straightforward. Feed when they wake at typical feeding times. Let them sleep if they sleep through one. For babies with truly random feeding patterns or those who nurse constantly throughout the night, determining when they're genuinely hungry becomes challenging. Your goal is to create a feeding plan that acknowledges your child's habitual night eating while establishing boundaries to gradually shift those calories to daytime. Consider guidelines like avoiding feedings before midnight, maintaining similar intervals between feedings as during the day, typically 3 to 4 hours, being somewhat flexible during the first few nights but consistent thereafter, and waiting briefly when baby wakes to see if they'll resettle without feeding. Many parents worry that night feedings might reestablish the food-sleep association they worked to break with swap or slip. Fortunately, nursing or feeding to sleep during middle-of-night wakings typically doesn't disrupt independent sleep goals. The crucial element is removing eating from bedtime. Children also wake for non-hunger reasons, often because they haven't mastered returning to sleep without your assistance, rocking, cuddling, bouncing, pacifier reinsertion. While you've removed these sleep associations at bedtime, your child will likely continue waking for the first few nights, expecting your previous interventions. Establishing independent sleep means remaining steadfast and not reverting to old habits. The biological drive to sleep is strong at bedtime, but weakens toward morning. Many babies wake at 4 to 5 a.m. when their sleep drive is minimal. Applying swap or slip techniques during these early wakings may help, but requires consistency for 1 to 2 weeks. Many parents opt for a quick snooze button feeding to gain more sleep, which generally doesn't undermine independent sleep goals. Most parents accept night feedings as part of life with a baby, but eventually wonder if their baby truly needs to eat so frequently. The reality is complex. Babies demand food for many reasons beyond hunger. Understanding why your baby wakes to eat at night is essential to determining whether night feedings are necessary or habitual. Babies wake to eat at night for multiple reasons. They need soothing during brief sleep arousals, they have strong food-sleep or suck-sleep associations, they're genuinely hungry, especially when tripling their weight in a year, or it's simply become a habit. Parents struggle with determining when babies are truly hungry, since crying can indicate various needs. Newborns often require feeding every 2 to 3 hours around the clock, with breastfed babies typically waking more frequently than bottle-fed ones. Around 6 to 8 months, babies become fascinated by their surroundings and may eat minimally during the day, making up calories at night. To combat this, try feeding in dark, quiet rooms with white noise and no siblings present. Use blankets to reduce visual distractions, feed at home rather than in stimulating environments, offer meals right after naps when babies are groggy, or even swaddle during feedings to limit distractions. For babies 6+ months who eat well during the day and fall asleep independently, night feeding is likely just habit. From birth, babies become accustomed to regular night feedings due to their immature digestive systems. As they grow, these large nighttime meals become unnecessary but habitual. While abruptly stopping these feedings can cause distress, gentle weaning can help transition calories to daytime hours. Focus on creating longer, uninterrupted stretches of sleep for yourself, as adults need about 6 hours of continuous sleep to function well. Rather than starting with the earliest feeding, which seems logical, identify which feeding's elimination would give you the longest stretch of uninterrupted sleep. Begin by weaning just one feeding at a time. For bottle feeds, start by offering 2 ounces less formula than usual. For nursing, gradually reduce nursing time by 1 minute per night. Once you've established that food is off the menu at a specific time, stay consistent. The milk bar is closed. While you might occasionally be more generous with younger babies, 4 to 6 months, or those recently ill, don't rush to feed your child at times they've reliably not been eating. Dream feeds, feeding your mostly asleep baby at times that suit your schedule rather than waiting for them to wake, can be useful in specific scenarios. They help shuffle feedings to create longer stretches of uninterrupted sleep for parents. Mastering baby naps can feel like the Kobayashi Maru, a no-win scenario from Star Trek. When your child naps well, everyone benefits. You get predictable kid-free time, your baby is less fussy, and night sleep typically improves. But naps present unique challenges. Babies actively fight sleep during the day when sleep drive is lower, timing is critical, and even brief catnaps can derail your schedule. Parents often worry about how their baby's naps compare to others, but nap needs vary significantly by age. Newborns, 0 to 3 months, have unpredictable naps ranging from 10 minutes to 4 hours with no consistent pattern. By 3 to 6 months, babies become more predictable, though nap consolidation remains a developmental milestone that can't be forced. By 6 to 9 months, those short 45-minute naps should extend to 90 minutes, with most babies taking 3 naps daily, though some may transition to 2. When it comes to napping, there are things you can control and things you can't. Even if you do everything right, some days will still have terrible naps. The 3 conventions of nap nirvana are your best tools. First, provide age-appropriate soothing, power tools. Babies need more soothing at nap time than bedtime. Second, maintain consistency. Same location, same pre-nap routine, same nap cues, and consistent timing for 80% of naps. Third, nail the timing. There's a delicate balance between not enough wake time, insufficient sleep drive, and too much wake time, overtired. As babies mature, generally after 6 months, their erratic nap patterns begin stabilizing into predictable rhythms. The transition from using the wake time method to the by-the-clock method happens gradually as sleep becomes more consistent. While sleep-deprived parents crave concrete schedules, forcing young babies into rigid timetables rarely works. Newborn sleep is a capricious hummingbird, unpredictable in both timing and duration. The crucial fourth convention of nap nirvana is that by 4 to 6 months, your baby must fall asleep independently at nap time. Ignoring this leads to short naps and persistent battles. Frustratingly, babies who've mastered independent sleep at bedtime must learn this skill separately for naps. They can't transfer the knowledge. Always establish independent sleep at bedtime first before tackling naps. What if your baby is 6+ months old, has mastered independent sleep, but still takes only 35-minute naps? Your child may be habituated to short naps. There are 2 methods to break the short nap habit. 1, disrupt the sleep cycle by waking your child 5 to 10 minutes before they normally wake up, just enough to see eye fluttering. 2, after a short nap, leave them in their quiet, dark, boring sleep space for 15 to 30 minutes to potentially fall back asleep. Just when you've mastered your nap ninja skills, your child will start fighting naps. Don't surrender. Your child is likely ready to drop a nap. Babies follow a fairly predictable nap-dropping pattern. At 3 to 6 months, they transition from newborns' 6 to 8 daily naps to just 3. Between 6 to 12 months, they'll drop the third nap. Between 12 to 18 months comes the often messy 2-to-1 nap transition. Between 18 months and 3 years, most children still need one nap, even if they prefer not to take it. Finally, between 3 to 5 years, most children stop napping entirely. Sleep power tools are like perms, useful until they aren't, and eventually your child will outgrow them. Despite fears of getting stuck with pacifiers, swaddles, and swings, many parents try to wean too early. Eventually, you'll need to gently phase these tools out. Continued swaddling would make sleepovers challenging for an 8-year-old, and pacifiers might hinder your teenager's dating life. Many babies use pacifiers successfully for months or years, but problems arise when babies need parents to reinsert pacifiers hourly throughout the night, typically between 4 to 8 months. Pacifiers have been linked to chronic ear infections, and if used past age 2, can lead to dental issues. The easiest time to wean is just before 4 to 5 months, when babies don't remember things exist, though removing it before 4 months means losing SIDS protection when risk peaks. Before weaning, establish a strong foundation by giving your baby multiple sleep associations beyond the pacifier and reducing daytime pacifier use. The swing is a powerful sleep tool for motion-loving babies, but eventually they need to transition to a crib, both because they'll outgrow it physically and to avoid social awkwardness later. Most babies need the swing for only a short time and can happily sleep in a crib by 3 to 4 months. The transition process involves 1. Putting baby into the swing awake and having them fall asleep there without you visibly present. 2. Progressively decreasing the swing speed until it's not moving at all. 3. Moving the swing next to the crib so baby gets used to sleeping in the same location. Finally, transitioning to the crib. Swaddling is wonderful for babies who respond to it, but eventually needs to end for 3 key reasons. 1. Baby no longer needs it. 2. Baby consistently breaks free despite your best efforts. 3. Most critically, baby is flipping from back to front while swaddled, which creates a serious SIDS risk. 3 effective approaches to weaning off the swaddle include 1. Swaddling with one arm out at bedtime. 2. Using transition swaddles that restrict arm movement just enough to prevent babies from batting themselves awake. Or 3. Simply stopping cold turkey, especially if your baby has a consistent bedtime routine and falls asleep independently. Most babies benefit from white noise until their first birthday, and there's no compelling reason to stop using it afterward. If you choose to wean, simply gradually decrease the volume over a few days until it's off, a quick and painless process. The short answer to when you should stop managing your child's sleep schedule is never. While older children can occasionally tolerate missed naps or delayed bedtimes, don't let this create the impression that consistent schedules aren't important. Research links inconsistent bedtimes with behavioral problems, poor academic performance, and ADHD.